Church Seeker Sunday School class? Have you been reading the Bible every day and praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you one of these schedules. You don't have to read according to schedule. You read it backwards if you want to. It'll help you. I don't care how you read it. It'll help you. It will help you. What I said was, I don't care how you read it, it'll help you. Yeah. What we're talking about was the Bible will help you. So, where's our memory verse? You're right, Psalm 73:24. What's it say? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Together, Psalm 73:24. Good. Again. Good. Again. Now, in the Greek, that means we'll read the Bible every day and then we go to heaven. Okay, one more time. Great.
Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. It's not just history that we still living, it's still breathing, and in its pages we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void. Not one God has changed.
changed. You can trust your Bible.
Yes, amen.
You can trust your Bible. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can't trust me. You can't depend on me. You can't rely on me or on man. But you can trust your Bible.
Yes.
Brother Zach, would you pray for us, please? What book are we in?
First John.
First John's correct. In chapter 1, we learned, I hope we learned, about the three misconceptions in chapter 1. One misconception, one lie, one falsehood that's been spread around is man can fellowship with God and still walk in sin. Well, that's a misconception. That's not true. The second one was man is not totally sinful and depraved. Well, that's a misconception. He is. Man is messed up. He's totally sinful and depraved. And the third one was man can become sinless and righteous on his own. Now, on his own is the key word there. Man can become sinless and righteous, but not on his own. He needs a perfect, sinless substitute. That's what I needed. That's what I still need. That's what the whole world needs, is a perfect, sinless substitute. And his name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. Then in chapter 2 last week, we were looking at some proofs that we really know God. Some proofs in chapter 2. One was keeping God's commandments. And we all fail. We all fail, but in the big picture, overall, how's your life overall? And then the second test was loving one's neighbor. Again, we all fail sometimes, but in the big picture overall, how you doing? And then today, remembering spiritual growth. Remember the commands in there. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. It's a command to Brother Rick. It's a New Testament command. And we're supposed to be growing. And that's where we are today. 1 John 2, verse 12 to 14. Let's see about that. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. And I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, in the Old Testament, this term father wasn't used when referring to God, or very rarely, very rarely. But now in the New Testament, everything's brand new. We've been put in the family, and he is our Father. The Lord Jesus taught us this right in the very beginning. One of the first quote he ever said that's recorded, written down, Luke 2:49. The Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Capital F, talking about his heavenly Father. And he starts telling us right there that God's our Father. He's not just God, not just a God afar off, but a personal God. A personal God. Luke 23:34, when they're nailing him to the cross, Luke 23:34, he's still telling us the same thing. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. They didn't know what they were doing. They were still unconscious of their ignorance. Remember that? Then right there in that same chapter, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. John 20:17. He's teaching us over and over that we're in the family. God's our Father. John 20:17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Well, that's great that it's his Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He's using God and Father interchangeable here. We're in the family. We're in the family. And our earthly father is a picture of the heavenly father. I know everyone didn't have a father. I know we're in a messed up circumstance today. But ordinarily, let's say. Acts 1:4. He's getting ready to go back to heaven, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And he passes it on down to us then in these epistles, these letters to the church, Ephesians 1, 3, to the church, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's Jesus' Father and He's our Father. We're in the family. Jesus is our brother, our elder brother. The Holy Spirit's our mother. God's our Father. That's how we got birth. That's how we got here. Matthew 6:9. He even telling us how to pray. We pray to our Father. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't remember my dad telling me no much. He would. But when you're in the family, I mean, if you want something, ask Sam. If you really want something, ask one of the grandpumpkins to ask me. If you really want. When you're in the family, you can come straight in.
Right.
You can come straight in. And maybe it's because I knew what to ask for and what not to ask for many times. Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now see, maybe one reason that happened to me was I don't ever remember one time calling my father, father, my earthly father. I like this Abba, and I kid around about the Greek too much, but they tell me that means daddy. Now that's what I called him, is daddy. I did not call him Father. That's pretty formal. Maybe you did. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always said Daddy. I don't remember one time. And it's an endearing term. It's an informal term. And I might even go ahead and say we're like that. Me and the boys, I teach my boys to say, I'd say, show them how we are. And they go like that. I said, we're just alike. We're tight. We're together. Abba, Father. And the Lord Jesus did it. And then in Romans 8, you can do this. Romans 8, starting in 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Does he tell you what to do? Does he tell you to turn left and right? Does he tell you, does he whip your heart? Does he say, no, don't go down that road?
Right.
Does he tell you, yes, go ahead. Get peace, and you're going down that way. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you can go straight in and make your request. Daddy, can I have $5 lunch money? Daddy, can I have a nickel for milk? You can go straight in and you can ask him. And he loves to give you good things. He will. That's the way we pray. We just come straight in. You don't have to say, oh God of Rehoboam, Jeroboam, all the Boam brothers, Abraham, Isaac. You don't have to go through all that stuff. It's not formal. You can just come straight in and say, Lord, help me. You can come straight in and say, God, help me. I need some help. Abba, Father. It's informal. Another one, back to 1 John now. Looks like for John, the words, the phrase, in the beginning, is one of his favorites. It's in the middle of 13 here. You've known him that is from the beginning. In St. John, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And then when this 1 John started, he starts out with that which was in the beginning. And now we got in the beginning again. Looks like it's one of his favorite terms here. And then 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Says, love not the world, neither the things. Now, it's easy not to love the world because they don't love us. Actually, they hate us. They transferred their hate from the Lord to us. But sometimes the things trip us up. Sometimes they do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, the world's our enemy. They killed our Savior. The wicked one is enemy number one. The flesh is enemy number two. Brother Rick's his own worst enemy. Many times the guy that walks around under my hat gives me the most problem. Right. Y'all don't bother me. My neighbors don't bother me. But Rick. Rick, the flesh is enemy number two. The world is enemy number three. And John's telling us about it right here. The world represents human life and society with God left out. You know, like if you took a picture of Washington, D.C., that's pretty right. much it. With God left out.
Right.
That's pretty much the world. Human life and society organized without God. The world is the devil's lair, that's a den for sinners, and his lure for saints. The world tries to lure us in. It's the enemy of God's people. Babylon represents the world's false religion. Egypt is the world's false wisdom. And then Assyria is the world's fearful wickedness. 17, back to 1 John 2, 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's which passing is the world. The world passeth away. Whatever those things are that attract us, kind of like lures out of a tackle box, whatever it is for you, it's going to rust and rot. Whatever it is for me, it's going to rust and rot and pass away. This world's going to pass away. But then that which is permanent, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's a pretty good deal we got in on. You're going to live forever. You got eternal life. You was going to hell, now you're not. It's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal I got in on. Brother Dennis told us Wednesday night that the universe is running down. Everyone knows that. The evolutionists know it, and we know it. It's running down, not before the Lord comes back. It won't run out. We'll be all right. You don't have to worry. It's not going to change before then. Then 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
Right.
Now, here's a past warning. Little children, it is the last time, and you've heard that the Antichrist shall come. That's a past warning, but there's a present warning. Even now are there many Antichrists. See, not just one, whereby we know that it is the last time. Again, there's many ways to get a true false question false. Many ways. There's only one way a true false question is true. Only one way. Only one way. There's many false ideas. Now these, verse 19 now. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now we're not just talking about backsliders here. If you go way back in the recesses of a backslider's heart, Christ is in there somewhere and he's miserable. The backslider is always miserable. Maybe the most miserable on earth. But not true of an apostate. That's not what you find in an apostate's heart. He does not have Christ. He does not have him. He turns away from the truth and propagates a lie. That's what he does. They went out from us because they were not of us. Judas never was in.
No.
He never was saved. He wasn't saved and lost. Judas never was saved. On that night, the Lord said, one of you will betray me. And it went around the room. Each one took their turn and said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And sometimes you feel that way. Is it I? But when it comes to Judas, he said, who is it? It was different. And he had the coins in his pocket. And he said, who is it? And before that, Judas had evil in his heart. After that, he had Satan in his heart. Right. He had received him. The rich man, and over in Luke 12, he was rich and he loved things, but guess what? He left all of them behind. He left every one of them behind. And we will too. The things are a trap of the world to focus our attention off of God and forget the world to come. The enemy wants me to focus on this world and not the world to come. That's what he wants me to do. Solomon's life proved this out. He started off good, but then in the end, his wives and the world and their gods pulled his heart away in the end. Let's look at John 17. Six through 11. St. John 17, 6 through 11. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, and I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep those thine own name. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. It's treason to betray him, to betray the Lord. Now in back up to verse 16 now, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh is what the enemy used on the Lord in the wilderness. And it does not necessarily have to be sexual desires. In the wilderness there, he tried to get the Lord to turn the stones to bread. If he would have done that, it would have killed him because he'd been on a 40-day fast, and you must end that with liquids. If he'd ate solids, it would have killed him. You have to start with liquids. And the Lord didn't get tricked. He answered him with the Word of God. The lust of the flesh is one of the world's devices for wearing us away from complete trust in the goodness and faithfulness of God. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the world is a showy appearance. The lust of the eyes, it's what attracts us. It's something that sparkles or is shiny. In the garden, the tree looked like it was good for food. So Eve went ahead and did it. It looked good, so she ate it. And then number three, the pride of life. A showy or an applause, a shallow applause. The pride of place, maybe the pride of race, yeah. It might be the pride of grace. Yeah. Humility and scholarship, the pride of life. It's the same kind of pride that's in those that destroy the Bible can be in us that defend the Bible.
Yeah.
Pride doesn't make choices. My old roommate, after I got saved, about five of us rented a house there, and I told one of my roommates there one day, I said, well, I'm talking about the good kind of pride. He said, well, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. He said, it's not in the Bible. And he caused me to study there a little bit, and I found out he was right. Test number three was, do we really know God? Or to love not the world is to really know God. Do I love the world system more than God? Professing man, professing, not possessing, professing man loves the world more than he loves God. He follows his feelings, his touch, taste, smell, hear, sight, not living by faith but by sight. Let's look at that in Galatians 5. My senses. Trust my senses. The lost man has a body. The lost man can trust his senses. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Talking about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, attention, honor, recognition, fame, position, self-sufficient, no need of God or man, either one. Pride of wealth, pride of position, pride of power, pride of knowledge, pride of superiority, pride of conceit, pride of self-glory, pride of self-righteousness. These are the things that trip us up, that show us that we love the world and not God. Then test number four was to guard against false teachers, antichrists,
yeah,
plural. It denies the deity, the sinless life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the lordship, and the return. Denies the origin, and it starts inside the church.
Right. Yeah.
But not by believers.
Right.
The Let's look at it. Matthew 7. Starting in 15. Beware of false prophets. I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Wonder what that means. Can you help me out? Looks like a New Testament command. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, he did not say, I knew you and then forgot you.
Right.
He didn't say that. 2 Corinthians 11. You get born again. You don't get born again and again and again.
Right.
You get born again. 2 Corinthians 11. Through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And then 2 Timothy 4. Be careful. Be careful.
Yeah.
Remember the parrot. Be careful. Be careful. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's protection against this for the Bible believer. Let's go back to 1 John 2. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. See, I've told you over and over and over, you don't need Brother Rick. When you got saved, you got baptized with the Spirit. Later on, you got baptized in the water. But when you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you and moved inside you. And you know the truth when you hear it. It'll ring true. And the Spirit, the big teacher in your heart, will go toward the truth. Verse 20, but we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know all things. This unction, it's an anointing. There's pictures in the Bible. It means the definitions of the anointing is to pour oil upon, to smear or rub with oil or dab oil on. He anointed the eyes of the blind man, is one example. to spread over as oil, to concentrate. He anointed kings and prophets and priests. They were set apart by the oil. The oil was a picture of that unction, that Holy Spirit that moves in your heart. And it was to prepare. Another definition of unction is, the number one definition was anointing. Number two on unction is an unusual ointment. Number three, anointing medically. Anything softening, that which excites piety and devotion, that's godliness. Unction, anointing, excites something inside me. When the singer, when Sister Cheryl sings that song, that excites something inside me and stirs up that unction and anointing. It's richness and gracious affections. It causes me to love God, love the Bible, love Jesus. It's divine or sanctifying grace. It's cleaning me up. It's sanctifying me, setting me apart more and more all the time, whatever it was that moved inside me. I didn't have it before. It changed me. He changed me. Extreme unction is a term we've heard. It's the rite of anointing in the last hours. Catholics like that one. And then, but there's also the application of the ointment. Like for us pilgrims on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a journey to a sacred place. See, we're going to heaven. And God moved inside us. And it's like a piece of metal and a magnet is drawing us toward Him. And when He comes back to the clouds one day, it's going to be like that electric magnet, and we're going up. We're going up. The parts where He resides, the parts of the senses. He likes to take care of, we're back to the sight and the hearing now, and the touch and the smell and the taste, and even the common sense. How about that sense? Sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste is great, but what about a little bit of common sense sometimes? That's what we run short. Then moral sense. We run short on that too. But the Holy Spirit, that unction that moved inside, He'll take care of that. He'll help me with that. He will. He'll help my perception and my sensation and my apprehension and my discernment and my sensibility and my quickness and my understanding and my soundness and faculties and strength of natural reason, my ration, my rationale, my judgment, my conscience, my conviction, my moral perception. He'll help me out with that. The big teacher moved inside. He didn't leave me alone. He's going to help me. It said here, you know all things. 21. I've not written, it's back to 1 John 2:21. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. This unction helps us. The main thing in Bible study is the Bible interprets itself. I would never technically, now I read other books, but technically I would never have to, because the Bible interprets itself. One place interprets another. That's why we look up so many verses in Sunday school, because the Bible. Now, the cults, they say, no, that's not true. But the Bible is like a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. You get all the straight pieces out and get them all together and start around those edges, and then you find the four corners later. And then you put all the red pieces together over here, and then the blue pieces are here. And then over here you get the man walking his dog, and you get that all pieced together. And finally, all the little pieces fall together and you see the big picture. Finally, it's the book of a lifetime. It'll take us a lifetime to do that. But He's wanting to help us with that. Now, no lie is of the truth. Let's see. We read 21. Let's look at 21 again. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. If I reject the truth, I will automatically embrace a lie. And truth is narrow. Like we talked about the true-false question a while ago. Truth is narrow. 2 times 1 is 2. It's pretty narrow. Now, the world, they like to say 2 times 1 is 3. Or 2 times 1 is 100. Or 2 times 1 can be 1,000. 2 times 1 could be 1,000,000. But no, Brother Caleb, you're right. No, no. The truth is narrow and unable to compromise. No, no, none of those can be true. A lie is subtle and attractive, persuasive to the world. But there's only one right. There's only one true. A lie is a lie. Evolution's a lie. It's very popular. A lot of very intelligent people believe it. But it's not true. It's not true. They have no evidence. The cults teach a lie. The world religions teach a lie. They propagate lies. The ultimate lie is to deny that Jesus is the Christ. The greatest fact in the history of the universe is that the great eternal, uncreated, self-existent, second person of the Godhead entered the human life by way of a virgin's womb at a place called Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. It's a lie of lies to deny that. A couple believe it. The greatest fact in the history of our planet is that the living God, creator of the universe, Lord of all the galaxy and space, came within the span of a virgin's womb and was born a man among men. It's a lie of lies to deny that. The most wondrous, glorious truth in the Word of God, that He was not only sinless and faultless, but holy. Holy as God is holy. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He died the just for the unjust that He might bring us to God. It's a lie of lies to deny that. The grandest truth, one not only died as a victor with the shout of the conqueror on his lips, but the sovereign dismissed his own spirit. Not only was he buried, but he rose again in triumph over sin, hell, and the grave. It's a lie of lies to deny that. To deny that. The glorious truth, this Jesus came, that same body He ascended on high with, entered heaven, sat down on the throne of God, the right hand of the majesty on high, and He sits there. He's God over all, and it's a lie of lies to deny that. The grandest truth is that now He's our great high priest, advocate, and He's coming again to reign on earth. All creation's waiting. He said, I will come again, and it's a lie of lies to deny that. He's coming back. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.